Hello, advanced listeners, and welcome to our business article for the month of September. And we are looking at current business trends around the world. In fact, the current trend that we are looking at is vehicle sharing services, and especially peer-to-peer vehicle sharing services. And yesterday, we talked about a gentleman called Miguel Casillas that decided to rent out three of his vehicles through a vehicle sharing platform called Turo. Why? Why did he decide to do this? Because he felt it helped offset the vehicle's cost he had from the three vehicles that he owned. Well, this is something new. We are familiar with rental services that we do, but this is something different, a peer-to-peer car sharing service. Now, yesterday went so well that I asked my panelists to come on back and join us. So to my left I have...
Hello everyone, this is Josh. I'm very glad to be back talking about this very interesting development in vehicle sharing.
What was something from yesterday, Josh, that you would like to share again with our listeners?
Well, I thought it was very interesting that there are now companies out there that makes it easy for you to offset the cost of owning a vehicle. But I also found it very interesting that there are some car manufacturers that are looking at directly allowing you to do vehicle sharing with their cars. And this is the news to me, and I think the next time that I look into renting out some of these services as well.
Right. This is great if you're not ready to buy a car. You just need a car for getting around a few days a week, especially if you're a city dweller. I think it's more so because we have access to public transportation. So it's something to consider, especially because in the city, some of the things that a city dweller has to deal with is the fact that we have to park our car, you know, and parking cars can cost a lot of money within a city. So oftentimes people don't or feel less inclined to want to buy a vehicle unless you're going to be traveling outside of the city. Now also joining me, coming back, is Zach. Zach, thanks for returning with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
Now, what was something from yesterday that you would like to share again with our listeners?
Yeah, so yesterday we had heard from CEO of Turo, Andre Haddad, and yeah, his claim was that there is a vast opportunity, and he thinks that this is going to be the future of car ownership. So I'm curious of how this will affect just for everyone who might use transportation and use cars and what this will look like in the future on our roads.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We talked about also the numbers involved, right? Yesterday, we see that the Boston Consulting Group estimates 35 million people worldwide will use car sharing service in 2021.
That's amazing.
It's a lot of people, right?
It is a lot of people.
So this is something to consider if you have a vehicle sitting idle. Perhaps you would like to offset the cost of the vehicle and consider putting it on a peer-to-peer car sharing service. Well, today we're going to look at why does it work and some of the other things involved in this peer-to-peer car sharing service. So if you have your Advance magazine, please join us on page 21 or on your electronic device. And we're going to start with our first reading for today.
Why does it work? The vehicle sharing platforms start with a simple premise. Vehicles are one of the two or three biggest investments consumers make. Cars sit idle most of the time, so why not unlock that value by renting it? Turo and Getaround have created virtual marketplaces or platforms and take a cut when vehicle owners and renters are paired. The services have fared well in cities where younger consumers are less likely to own or need a car. Young renters love the absence of a ball and chain, said Brendan O'Brien, co-founder of Aria Systems, which provides payment software for vehicle sharing platforms and manufacturers.
Well, listeners, we're looking at car sharing services, especially peer-to-peer car sharing services. And we are starting out with the question, why does it work? Josh, what do we learn about that?
Well, we see here that vehicle sharing platforms start with a simple premise, which is that vehicles are one of the two or three biggest investments that consumers make. So when we talk about a premise, we're talking about an idea or a theory that sort of bases a statement or an action, right? So the premise here is that most people are only going to buy a few very expensive or large items, one of them, of course, being a house, being a big investment,
right.
But that a vehicle is another one of those big investments that most people will make.
Right. And what is the other issue that people with a vehicle deal with, Zach?
Right. And so the other issue is when cars just sit idle. And so here we're talking about cars are not sitting, but they are not being used.
Right. That was something that we mentioned in the first paragraph yesterday. For Miguel Casillas, he felt that that his vehicles were sitting idle. And especially if you have an expensive car, you don't want that to sit idle.
Right. And as cars sit idle, it actually is quite bad for the car, right? You don't want your engine or your battery to have that effect.
Right, right. Yeah, then you need to maintain that as well. So it says, so why not unlock that value by renting it, right? Rather than allowing it to depreciate with no use, right? Make sure you use the value of the car to good, yeah, to put it to good use and rent it out. We see that Turo and Getaround is another vehicle sharing service, have created virtual marketplaces or platforms and take a cut when vehicle owners and renters are paired. Josh, what do we mean by taking a cut of something?
Well, when you take a cut of something, it means that you are taking a portion of the money or the profit.
Right. And here, so once a vehicle owner and a renter appeared, then Turo and Getaround take a little bit of that money for themselves. Now, we do actually have a little sidebar that talks about Getaround. Zach, could you read that sidebar for us at the bottom there?
Sure. Getaround, Turo's smaller San Francisco-based rival, grew from a student project. The six-year-old company has 2,500 cars concentrated in cities around the U.S. Getaround offers vehicles in urban parking garages for short day trips or weekend escapes. Like Turo, Getaround gets owners and renters through background checks, citing history to ensure the proper mix of reliable and responsible users.
Right. Okay. So we have been talking a lot about Turo, but we see that Getaround is also very popular and growing, as Turo is also growing. Now, how have these companies done, Josh?
Well, they have fared well in cities where younger consumers are less likely to own or need a car. So when you fare well, it means that you are successful or that you're being treated well.
Mm-hmm. Right, good. Okay, so they've done pretty well in the cities because that's where there are a lot of young consumers that are less likely to own or need a car. In fact, we learned something more about these consumers, Zach.
Right, and so that makes sense because often in cities there are fewer reasons to own a car.
Mm-hmm.
Things are closer together so people can walk or take public transportation, and more times than not, parking is really expensive. So a car sharing platform would be great for those of us living in a city who have short-term car needs and are able to rent a car instead of owning one.
Right. In fact, it goes on to say they have a little bit of a phrase here. They say they love the absence of a ball and chain. What is that idiom, Josh?
So this is an interesting idiom. We do hear it, fairly often, I would say. It refers back to the days where, and actually this still happens, where there's such a thing as called a chain gang, or prisoners who were allowed to work, but they were chained to each other or chained to a heavy metal ball, so they wouldn't be able to easily run away or escape. So here this idiom means that something that weighs you down and makes it difficult for you to do things.
Right, and we have been talking a little bit about how vehicles, even though they are considered an asset, can also be difficult because they can depreciate fairly rapidly. You may have trouble parking the car, or you may only use it for a short amount of time, especially if you live in the city because traffic is congested, and you may have access to public transport that is more efficient. So these are the obstacles that a lot of young consumers or young renters deal with, and so they love not having to deal with the idea of having this difficulty, having to deal with owning a car. And this is according to Brendan O'Brien. He's the co-founder of Aria Systems. And what do Aria Systems do, Zach?
They provide payment software for vehicle sharing platforms and manufacturers.
Okay, so his job is to sell this idea.
Right.
So this is a great phrase for him to use to be able to sell the idea of this car sharing platform. Well, yesterday we talked about it briefly, some of the stats involved with car sharing, but we're going to learn a little bit more about that in our next paragraph for today.
Exponential growth. Turo, once known as Relay Rides, had fewer than 50 cars when Haddad came on board in 2011. It now offers 125,000 vehicles and more than 800 models in cities and airports across the U.S. and Canada. Turo offers a compelling deal for car owners and renters. By renting out her car 1 week a month, the owner of a new Tesla Model S can make enough through Turo to cover her $1,020 monthly car payment. The owner of a Honda Civic can earn about $350 by renting out his car 11 days in a month. The cost of renting a car through Turo can be one-third less than going through a traditional rental car agency.
All right, now we are learning about how well car sharing services are doing. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, that there was an estimate from the Boston Consulting Group that 35 million people worldwide will use car sharing services in 2021. And we also learned from Andre Haddad, the CEO of Turo, that the opportunity is vast. So there has been an exponential growth in Turo itself. Exponential means large, very quickly. There's been an increase in growth very quickly. And we learn a bit about that, but we also learn a bit about its origins, Josh. What do we learn?
Well, we learn that Turo, when it first got started, was actually referred to by a different name, Relay Rides. And when they first started off, they had fewer than 50 cars in 2011.
Is it common for companies to change their name?
I wouldn't necessarily say that it's common, but I do know that as companies grow and as they look at marketing and as they look at usability, especially when it comes to being able to quickly find and refer to their company online, that many times companies will choose to simplify or change their name in order to facilitate that. And it looks like that is could be what happened here.
Right. Yeah. Turo is a bit shorter than Relay Rides. But we see that they also changed their name. Well, there has been benefit to that, right? They now offer how many vehicles, Zach?
Yeah, now they're offering over 125,000 vehicles and more than 800 models in cities and airports all across U.S. and Canada.
That is definitely exponential growth.
Yes, definitely.
Wow, that's a lot. And so we see that Turo is able to do something very strongly. They're able to offer a compelling deal for car owners and renters. And when we say something is compelling, that, you know, here there's a lot of proof that this is working very well. And we have some examples, Josh. We're given some examples.
So the first example here is by renting out her car 1 week a month, the owner of a new Tesla Model S can make enough money through Turo to cover her monthly car payment.
Which is great. We talked about offsetting vehicle costs, right, mm-hmm. early on in the program. And so this is one of the benefits or things that attract people to use Turo. What is one of the other examples given, Zach?
Yeah, the owner of a Honda Civic, he could earn enough money by renting his car out maybe half of the month that he could cover the costs.
Okay, so we see here that there is some benefit to having it. Well, we said that there's an offset in vehicle costs, right? Whether it is like trying to make back the money that you need to for your car payment or even for the maintenance of the vehicle. It's an affordable option for the owner of the vehicle. Now, we also see for the renter, it is also affordable because it says the cost of renting a car through Turo can be one-third less than going through a traditional car agency. So it costs less to rent a car through Turo.
So this reminds me of another sharing platform that I think has really taken off around the world that many people may be familiar with, and that is Airbnb.
Mm.
Now, we did talk about, at the beginning of the day today, we talked about how consumers will make a few big investments, and one of those would be a home or a place where they live. And Airbnb is a sharing platform that has become very popular because when people have extra space, a room or apartment, they will rent it out, and it's really taken off around the world as a good way for people who are dealing with monthly costs to offset those costs by renting it out, and also being very good for people who are finding places to stay, because many times these areas are close to the places that they want to go,
right.
And not only are they comfortable, but they're also reasonably priced when compared to a large chain hotel. So this is very similar to something that's really taken off and is really very popular around the world now. So I'm very interested to see where services such as Turo or other ride-sharing services might go as well.
Right. Yeah, often somebody's made an investment in buying a house. Would we say that their house is sitting idle?
Well, you might say that a space is sitting idle. So if you have an extra room that's not being used for anything, and say, well, that room's not being used for anything, and it's sort of the sense of sitting idle.
Right. Okay, so perhaps, like you said, it will increase in popularity with this new asset, which is your vehicle, right? I could see this also. I think Airbnb also works with things like yachts and other unusual accommodation as well.
They definitely do work with other unusual accommodations as well.
So we're starting to cross the line between houses and cars, right? Pair-to-pair sharing services. All right. Well, we also see that as people consider the pros and the cons, there are some cons to also think about. So why don't we check out our last reading for today?
Facing obstacles, but a few hurdles, cultural, not technical, remain. With so little experience in peer-to-peer rentals, owners may be reluctant to give over the keys to a stranger. Turo encourages owners to hand their keys to renters in person because they believe the personal connection helps build trust between parties. That's an incredibly important part of that trust, Haddad said. Much of the company's efforts have been to accumulate data on driving records, safety, and personal information to create a safe and reliable platform.
Well, with anything new, there are pros and cons, and especially when you're starting to do something new in the business world, there are obstacles that you do need to overcome. And so we see in our last paragraph today that there are some obstacles that need to be faced when we're dealing with a car or peer-to-peer car sharing service. First of all, Zach, what are some of the hurdles people face?
Sure. So, with any new business, there are obstacles and hurdles. Here we're talking about something that gets in our way. Actually, a hurdle is something runners will jump over. If anyone's ever watched or participated in a track and field event, you may have seen hurdles that some of the runners will have to kind of jump over to the finish lines.
Mm.
And here, the finish line is good business, and so there are some cultural, not so technical hurdles that businesses or people who are renting have to face.
Right. It says, with so little experience in peer-to-peer rentals, owners of vehicles may be reluctant to give over the keys to a stranger. This is an interesting term, to give over something, Josh. What does that mean?
So give over is kind of similar to give up, right? So you have something, but you're going to give it away, so you give it up to somebody else. But here we're talking about giving it over, which means like to hand over something in your possession to somebody else's possession.
Right. So the idea of giving the keys to your beautiful car to a stranger can be an obstacle for many people. Why do you think that is, Josh?
Well, for me, it's not necessarily such a big thing. I mean, I did talk earlier on the other day, we were talking about this article of whether or not I would be okay with somebody renting a vehicle from me.
Right.
And I said that it depends on the situation in the area, so that if I was in Costa Rica, I would be less likely to trust the driver's ability to be able to drive in that area just because it's very unique and the type of driving you have to do is kind of demanding. So if you're unfamiliar, the chances that you can get yourself into an accident are much, much, much higher.
Mm.
But I think here is sort of a cultural idea is that if I own a very nice car, and for the most part, I think people who own nice things have a particular way that they like to treat those things, and it's very difficult to think that you would give it to someone else who might do all sorts of who knows what that you would prefer not to have done with your nice thing.
Yeah. What about you, Zach? How do you feel about that?
Sure. Well, yeah, and like we said the other day, a car is one of the top few larger purchases that we make. And so, right, like just as Josh said, it's a very valuable thing. And so it's easy to feel reluctant or hesitant before we just give away those types of things.
So how does Turo overcome this cultural reluctance?
Well, they encourage owners to be there to hand their keys to renters in person, because they believe the personal connection helps build trust between the parties. So instead of making an arrangement to pick up the keys or maybe having a lockbox someplace with a combination that a renter could just enter in the combination and take the keys,
right,
that they ask for people to really be face-to-face with each other and to physically hand off the keys in order to really sort of have this like, oh, this is a car that belongs to a real person, and I'm going to treat it with respect because it's their car.
Right. And we see that that's actually an incredibly important part of building that trust, according to the CEO. Right.
That's right.
Well, we have a little sidebar that talks about other possible downsides that renters, well, should I say owners of vehicles may consider. So what are some of those downsides, Zach?
Sure. We read that renting out a personal car can have many downsides, like more miles put on the odometer and engine, and then even cleaning up less than fastidious drivers.
Right. So the first one, renting out a personal car can have downsides. We talk about more mileage on the odometer. Is that something that most car owners consider, Josh?
Well, as far as that, we talked about at one point when you buy a car that already it starts losing value. But
right,
another factor in the value of your vehicle is how much you've used it or how many miles or kilometers you put on it. Because
right,
the more mileage or the more use, or the more distance that you drive a car, the more maintenance and repair that it needs.
So really they have to consider whether they think it's worrisome that it's sitting idle in their garage and not doing anything, or collecting more miles on the odometer. Mm-hmm. And this is interesting, cleaning up after less than fastidious drivers. What is a less than fastidious person, Zach?
Yeah, someone who might not take as good of care as you prefer.
Right, so that means not very clean.
Right.
Right? All right. And also, Zach, what is the last point made in this sidebar?
Some renters may struggle to figure out how to operate. Here it says a Prius or a Tesla. And so these are just cars that might not work in the most conventional sense, that these are a newer, less familiar way of operating the car.
Are their keys different?
There are. So there is a key that activates the car, but in order to start the car, you push a button.
Ah, you don't put it into a slot.
You don't turn an ignition.
Ah, okay, so that could be a problem.
And also with some of these cars, even just how they, if I'm not mistaken, how they put in the gasoline is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay, so these are things that perhaps the renter is not familiar with.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you don't want to put the wrong gas into the vehicle.
Certainly you would not want to put the wrong gas into a vehicle. That would completely destroy it.
Right. So that's some of the downsides. But we hope that that doesn't stop people from trying it out. We do see that, of course, they are trying to build trust between the owner and the renter. And in fact, much of the company's efforts have been to accumulate data on driving records, safety, and personal information to create a safe and reliable platform, which I think is very similar to Airbnb. Initially, when there was concerns about safety with regard to Airbnb, they really stepped it up. They really made an effort to increase the reliability and safety. I think they have a grading system, or review system, where you can put your reviews, and I'm just wondering if maybe Turo does a similar thing where you can see how, or what I say, user review, so people can see that. I think nowadays a lot of people use user reviews to decide or consider whether they're willing to use that particular item or platform. So we come to the end of our program for today. Would we rent out our vehicles? Well, we would love to hear from you and hear from you whether you would rent out your vehicle after hearing about today's business article. So make sure you let us know about that. But that is all the time we have for today. So this is Amanda.
And Josh.
And Zach.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.